Today on our show,
for the 9th anniversary of the Countdown and Now Just podcast, we are counting down, against my better fucking judgment, the top 10 movie characters we'd most likely marry.
That's right. Hit it, Polly. Welcome to episode 467 of the Countdown Podcast. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the show. We count down stuff in order of awesomeness you don't have to. And today, movie characters we would marry if they would have us.
Look,
that's, in my case, already married.
Yeah.
Straight out of the gate, let's start with the
Oh, I see. Paul has to bust a disclaimer on your ass.
Because and otherwise, I may well not be married by the end of Easter weekend.
Let's clarify this, Paul. Yeah. This was my idea.
Wayne's idea because I stupidly said to him on Wednesday night when we went to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, Wayne, I had a topic last week I really enjoyed that I picked. Why don't you pick one this week you'd enjoy?
And then it took me like 10 years to go, huh? And so I just busted out like 10.
The latest ever acknowledgement of when we have ever organized a show.
Absolutely. That's like 2 days in. Friday night. Shit, we got to write stuff. Shit. I had to write shit. Like, I was trying to do shit last night. Didn't work out. Tried to do shit in the morning. Didn't work out.
I was doing it all the way up until 15 minutes before I walked out.
Yeah, no, that's cool. You know what? Because it's a nascent show. It's like, what's up? Seat of the pants.
So any movie character, they've been in a movie and we think, yes, and here's the reason why we would like to marry them if they would have us and we weren't already married.
Obviously.
Too long a title. So it's just implicit that characters if
we marry them, doesn't mean they'd marry us.
No, they would might say get fucked.
So I should say this
not
now.
By me.
Paul obviously has a bunch of... it's a complicated life, all right? He's married, he has a kid, he has a job, car.
I know sure you have a job and a car.
Yes.
You don't have a wife or any kids we know of.
That's right. And so as a result, I have spent a long time as an eternally single man-ish, you know, falling in love with art and people within art and characters within art, and I'm geared towards that. Paul's much more... realistic, and you know, he's considering things like me too. Whereas I'm more like, I like that girl, I'll talk about how she might make a wonderful wife for someone. Me in this case. So feel free to understand that this episode, it has a tendency to get thirsty. We're going to try not to do that. Or at least Paul will. All right?
No, there's some
okay, none of us, but fuck it. We're going to do some thirst. This is an honest ass thing. It's how we go. So yeah, what up?
That's the way it is. So we're not meaning to be offensive. We're not going to be just talking about people's looks, but no doubt that will factor
obviously,
in.
Obviously, because you need to like how your wife looks if you've got to look at her ass every damn day, right?
Sure,
you need to look at it. Yeah, exactly. So and she need to like your ass too.
Yeah.
All right? So someone better get to the gym is what I'm saying to me.
100% for sure. Now, do want to announce at the top of the episode our big announcement for the 9-year anniversary. It's incredible we've made it here, Wayne. 9 years of this podcast. It's actually a little late by the time the episode actually drops on, unfortunately, Good Friday.
No one cares, Paul.
So you might not get to it on Good Friday. Fair enough. You've got other plans and with the family and whatever else. But you are listening to this now. I can't tell you to listen. Listen through the end. Because the very
it's
part,
coming at the end, everyone. The announcement is coming at the end. Yeah, just the chill end and hang out with us.
We'll tell you all you need to know about the Countdown moving forward. So with that tease very firmly in place and without the need to try and find a movie theme track that fits this particular topic, I'm going to take us away without my number 10. And Wayne, I was so pleased because I was struggling.
Were you?
I have no honorable mentions other than one kind of, which I'll mention when I get to it.
I got tons.
I don't. This was a really tough list to make because yes, objectification and all the rest of that.
Things I don't worry about.
My number 10 is one of the greatest TV characters who did one movie.
Oh, I know who it is.
It's Veronica Mars.
Yeah, I know who it is. Immediately.
Played by Kristen Bell. Because holy shit, if you watch this TV show, you know.
Look, I've had snippets of the show. Tell me about it.
Sassy, intelligent, clever, fucking way too many steps ahead of everyone else, able to protect herself, look after herself, and fiercely loyal to the man in this particular case that she does love. So
and she's cute as a button.
Oh my God. She's Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. Right all there, good
as far
stuff.
As I'm concerned. And I followed this show, watched every iteration of it created by Rob Thomas. This is the 2014 film, which came between the end of the show and the reboot of the show in more recent times.
How was the movie?
The movie is fine. It's not great.
And as opposed to the TV show?
The TV show is much better.
Much better.
And then even the reboot series was much better. Made some big choices for her character and the show in general. And yeah, and she's also got a great father. She would also have a great father-in-law in the form of Hector Elizondo.
Hector Elizondo was her dad? No.
Enrico Calatone.
There you go.
Those two are very interchangeable. Yeah, they're both bald. One's about 20 years younger.
Yeah. The guy you mentioned, he was in Just Shoot Me. Yes. He was the photographer, yeah. Elliot. Yeah, all right.
Very likable man and plays her father so well. I hope to be. He is father goals for me as far as my daughter is concerned. Yeah.
That's really cool. I was reading a Buffy comic written by Joss Whedon to basically make it seasons eight and nine, or whatever. And they have Xander talking about Veronica Mars, and he says, so cool. In the second season, then he cuts him off. So it's like this whole thing. So I Veronica Mars is one of the things I've always... I saw the first pilot. I never got past it, but it doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah. I don't know if you can go back to it now because it's so out of time and whatever, but at the time...
Remember, Paul, I'm an old man. I remember what it's like 20 years ago,
that show was the absolute bomb diggity.
Nice.
To take myself in for it.
Excellent, excellent. Okay. Well now, Paul, my number 10, but not one that you may not. Some of these you would pick, some of these you wouldn't, okay? Mm-hmm. My number 10 is Arwen from Lord of the Rings.
Ooh, that Let is me a tell surprise. You,
yeah, it's a bit of a deep cut. Now, Arwen was played by Liv Tyler.
Yeah, lovely.
She's lovely, but she's not exactly my cup of tea.
So she's not a ranger?
Not a ranger, but she's a white girl. So...
So Bon Jovi, halfway there.
Sort of, yeah. No, the reason I like Arwen is that when I was
watching... That's the soundboard.
No, we don't, Paul. You know you gave up your number one song that episode just to make that joke, and then you played the fucking same song again. I'm like, this motherfucker's really committed to the bit. So,
well, you're on a good thing, man. I can't pass it up.
Arguable. All right. So, sorry. Back to Arwen. Now, in Lord of My Ring, well, first of all, I was very impressed
So in other words, I would like Arwen to be Lord of my ring?
Of course. Yes, okay. Everyone, you know, is Lord of my ring that I like. You know, they have the opportunity, should I say. But she was so... First of all, she's cool.
Has to be consensual.
Obviously. Yes, you can just say all of that, okay? I'm not one of those guys.
To be Lord of your ring.
Of course.
Yeah, so I like your qualifier there. It's like, well, that I want to, of course.
Well, no, you can all have access to my ring. The question is, do you want to? And let me tell you, the yes-no ratio, it's about 40-60. So,
very complimentary to yourself.
We're making this is going to be a thirsty episode.
Why are you talking about your ring and apparently people's thirst for that?
It's lower than you would think. Also, actually, it's about...
You said it was 40% of the population.
That's lower than I might think.
Yes, I think it's lower than you might think.
I don't know what's happening this episode, everyone. I don't know.
Well, you fucking chose it.
I'm fine with it. Now, for the record, Arwen does this cool thing in Lord of the Rings where she actually protects Frodo and she's like, if you want him, come and claim him. And I'm like, ooh, that's kind of cool. But you know what else Arwen did, Paul?
What did she do?
Arwen chose. She's an elf, so she lives forever.
Yep.
All right?
Well, she did.
Well, she chose a mortal life with Viggo Mortensen. What kind of a lady, Paul, would give up immortality for some dude? I know it's Viggo. I don't give a fuck. If you live forever, you can have 10 Viggos, all right? But she chose to do that, her true love, to be, you know, just because he was a good, noble 10 man.
10 Viggos. It's very vigorous.
It is vigorous. Not bad. So yes, I imagine any lady who would sacrifice her immortality for true love is genuinely
She's a good keeper.
She's a keeper, right? Like, I don't know
that you got that because I have one higher on my list that is... the opposite thereof.
So. Oh, really? Mm. Yeah, because Paul likes it a bit fucking rough. I'll tell you that, ladies and gentlemen. He likes it a bit nasty. I'm a bit more honest about just, it's nice if she loves me.
Nice. It's way nice to be nicely loved a lot.
Sure. Who doesn't, Paul? Who doesn't? Oh, I can't wait to your number nine now.
Well, number nine, Wayne, I expect to be on your list. And I'm going to steal your thunder
go
here.
Go on.
It's from a film called Long Shot.
Shit. Charlize?
Yeah.
No.
How is she not? You love this movie. So Charlotte Field, one of, at the time of the start of the movie, one of the most influential women in the world.
Yep. She's a Secretary of State.
Secretary of State, that's it. Running for the government. And then eventually starts running for president. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the film, she is the first female president of the United States. Spoiler for a film that's 5 years old. And she's prepared to put up with Seth Rogen. So I think I've got a pretty good fucking chance.
And he's a weed smoker.
And I'm not.
And I'm not either anymore. Yeah. But I understand the ideology. So.
So she's high intelligence. She's completely beautiful. And she's pretty much the most powerful woman in the world.
Yeah.
How could you get any better than that?
I'll tell you.
You might argue. Paul. My top eight. But anyway.
Here it is. Here it is, Paul. If your wife is POTUS.
Yep.
Or even Secretary of State. And she looks like Charlize Theron.
Yep.
You ain't getting no time, baby. You ain't getting no time.
The time you're going to get is going to be...
Bullshit! The time you get is going to be 5 minutes besides the fucking under the Oval Office White House desk, which isn't bad, let's face it, all right? But...
Your every other need met?
No, I think that if you're in a high power relationship like that, you're actually in a loveless marriage. You think Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, how wonderfully romantic you think that relationship is? It's shit, Paul. It's shit, okay? They're there. They're a power couple. There's that. They're having people killed all over the globe. There ain't no fucking going on, all right? There ain't no... between each of them. Right? Bill fucking people with cigars and shit. That's fine.
This girl makes a very good point of how she makes time for cum guy.
Cum guy?
That's what they refer to him by the end of the film.
Oh, yeah, because he blew his beans on his face. Yeah, look, if it's that...
She's special. She's not fucking Bill Clinton.
She's lovely, but I think I would wonder what I brought to the relationship, Paul. I would be sitting there going, hey, you're the president.
I'm not insecure.
I know you're not insecure, but so I'm
quite capable.
I apparently am. So you're happy to be the first bloke?
Oh, absolutely.
Happy to be the first bloke?
You can first bloke me the rest of your life.
I don't believe you, Paul. I don't think you'd be happy that way. I think you'd be just like, oh, well, I guess I'm just here. Really?
I would be there just trying out designer suits and shit and be like, yeah, man, you do your thing, Charlotte.
Sorry, I really don't believe you, Charlotte. You don't give a fuck about suits.
I might do if that's all I had to worry about, looking good.
Okay, Paul. Let's just say that this is fine. All right, let's go ahead.
We're going to pick holes up there, aren't we? Excellent. Now that Wade's established the fucking foothold for this episode, watch the fuck out.
Shit on each other. That'll be funny. Okay, this will be great then. Here we go. My number nine.
Wasn't great before.
My number nine is...
No one's getting to the announcement at the end, are they? No one.
No, but maybe... Well, maybe because they're so entertained, they'll just stay. Who knows? Hopefully. All right, everyone. Number nine is... You've never been... This is from a horror movie, Paul. This is from a horror movie. It's a chick from a horror movie.
The fuck?
Yeah, it's Eloise from Last Night in Soho.
That's a horror movie in the way that...
Okay, it's a horror drama, your mama, whatever.
It's a pseudo piece of shit. I'm a soft cock horror movie, but okay. No.
Would I know any other horror movie?
No,
I would not. Okay, Thomasin McKenzie plays this girl, and she has the best taste in fashion ever.
Really?
Because she knows that the 60s were the best time in human history for fashion. And in this film, she is, first of all, very fetching. I'm quite a fan, Paul. I'm quite a fan.
Okay, sure.
I know she's a bit young for me, so I'll have to dial myself down to that age.
Acknowledging
and
all that. Yeah.
Because she's not a victim in this show, even though she gets she has to deal with a lot of shit, like ghostly Anya Taylor-Joy and shit. But like...
I know one listener who'd love to deal with ghostly Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, yeah. He'd like to David ghost Powell. That. Exactly. And he definitely wouldn't ghost her. So... She and the kind of the stuff, the rough thing she goes through shows me her character, Paul. She's actually a lot braver than me, which is not hard.
Whoa.
And so, and on that
sorry,
level.
Sorry.
What? No.
Okay, fuck your soundboard. Shut up, Vagicil, you're an asshole. Whoa, you love cock, bitch. Fuck you. All right, so. So I actually found myself, when I was watching the film, oddly falling in love with her a bit. Just kind of going, okay, well, she'd probably be a great person to have with me. I'd marry her.
You like this film way more than you should have.
I know. You don't like this film, do you? And it's your favorite director.
No, it was the 3.5-star solid film.
I think what it was probably is the fact that it's pseudo-horror, and I still liked it. Mm. It raises it in my esteem. So, but again, Eloise, big fan. Big fan. Looking forward to what she does next, actually.
Okay. My number eight is Peak Salma Hayek.
Ah, Salma. Of course. Yeah, well, this one I've got no problem with. Paul.
Desperado.
Yeah. She was awesome in that, man.
She's so hot. I'm just going to be honest. She's so hot, my brain just turns into mush at this period of life. And she's still a very fetching woman.
Oh, it'll still all get done.
Yeah. This stage of her life as well. She's strong-willed. She's tough as fuck. She fights right alongside El Mariachi. No hesitation in the course of the film, shooting motherfuckers left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end of the film, which apparently, sadly, very tragically got cut because it couldn't pass the MPAA.
Isn't it amazing
standards?
That we still like the film as a result of that very
abrupt
ending?
Even though it just literally fades to white.
Yeah,
and
boom,
then,
boom, 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 boom. And it's like, what?
And then
Rob Rodriguez even goes, well, I just cut the whole thing. Yeah. Then I'm like, show that scene somewhere.
Oh, I wish that footage exists.
Release the footage,
yeah,
son.
Put it back in. Come on.
Give us a
release. Maybe it just doesn't exist at a good enough quality. Now, I do want to add an 8B here, which is... If I'm going gay...
Or Antonio?
Antonio Banderas as El Mariachi would have called many men's bisexuality into question, I think. He is a smoke show in this film as well.
I remember showing...
Is there a better looking couple in cinema history? I'm not sure.
There's a countdown.
Not sure.
There's a countdown. Mm. All right. But like when I remember I lent this movie to someone on Laserdisc.
Laserdisc.
And she had never heard of Antonio Banderas or anyone at the time. Yeah, this is like back in the whatever 90 whatever's, right?
Okay. That's when Laserdisc were out.
It was a chick at work, man. It was some chick at work, right? So anyway, I give that to her. She was checking
out. One of Wayne's women he used to know.
Sadly, no. She was lovely, but I was a very young guy at the time, and she was at least, 10 years older than me, okay. So that's not even quite old enough.
Prime you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, back so then. She comes back and she says, "Oh my God, who's that Antonio Banderas guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, he's the shit, right?" She goes, He looks like a tiger. I'm like, what does that mean? She goes, there's a scene where he's got like, he's glowering and it's very darkly lit, but all he can see is his eyes. I'm like, yeah, he's the shit. She goes, I don't even usually like guys with long hair, but holy shit. I'm like, that's right. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely.
There's even a thing, something I really remember from the commentary back in those days, just in the commentary.
Yeah, yeah, the commentary track.
Rodriguez talking about, there's a scene where he jumps off a wall and she's up on it and she rolls over the wall and her dress hikes up.
Yeah, and he flips it over
again to cover.
Yeah.
And like that wasn't obviously meant to happen, but he didn't. I left it in.
That's right.
Because it's such a tender sort of...
He said, I love that moment because he's so polite to put her dress down and then
this
take
is after
her off.
They banged and killed a whole bunch of people and her library's burning down. But it's just, those two, amazing. And so there's my honorable mention.
And of course, there was an explosion behind her and she didn't even flinch.
Yep, and they walk away together. And that's kind of what I want, someone who walks away without flinching an explosion behind
her.
Who
doesn't want that woman, Paul?
And man.
Because I'll shit my pants if a fucking explosion happens. Won't be any cool walking away. They'll be like waddling. So, all right, fantastic. My number 8, ladies and gentlemen, this is an odd one, Paul, because it's an animated character.
Oh, here we go.
No, hang on. It's not fucking Jessica Rabbit like you might think.
Well,
all right.
Like B. No. Dizzle from the We Watch the Food podcast might think, because that's coming up on the listener feedback.
Is that his Jiggity Jam?
And I'm not sure that's legal, B. Okay. Dizzle. So this is, God, it's a cool world, isn't it?
No.
No.
No. This may surprise you, Paul. It's Belle from Beauty and the Beast, the original one. Okay, now let me tell you why. And Paul and I, by the way, everyone, this is a good juncture.
Weird and awkward.
Yeah, this is a juncture for me to tell you that Paul and I do not see eye to eye on women. All the bitches he likes, I don't like. All the bitches I like, he don't like.
Women? Women.
Because of shit like this, okay? So
do I have to still be doing this after 9 years?
No, I'm just doing it for effect. All the ladies I like, he don't, so on and so on and so on, okay? So, Belle from Beauty and the Beast, though. When I saw this as I want to say youngster, but really, I was in my late 20s probably, or whenever this came out, I'm not sure. Belle from Beauty and the Beast? What is it?
Wasn't that like mid-90s?
I don't fucking know,
Paul.
It was
the first time it was 3D in cinema.
Yes, it was CGI with the big ballroom scene. Anyway, I didn't expect to like this film, and I can't remember why I watched it. But when I did...
I'm not sure why you did either, given you don't like animation.
No, but you come across shit in the 90s.
Weird because you're an artist.
Sometimes there's I know. Anyway, Belle from Beauty and the Beast. I didn't expect the show to be like this, and I did not expect the character to be like this. First of all, the Beast is cool. He's not like a beast.
What has that got to do with Belle?
Hang on, motherfucker. I'm getting to it, slutwit. Hang on.
Slutwit.
Slutwit.
Add that to your lexicon, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, when Belle actually gets to meet with him, one... She's afraid but not afraid. So she's like this, but then she doesn't run immediately, okay? Then when he's talking with her, she'll argue with him and she'll tell him off, even though he's like a beast and all. She's oddly not scared of him while being frightened. And then her fresh-faced kind of thing, she's like became a favorite of mine because she rolled with like the verbal punches and actually somehow got a... basically, when you're young, sometimes you feel like a bit of a freak to women, or at least I did. I didn't know. But she related to him immediately, despite his freakness, right? So I found some kinship with her. I'm like, she's probably cool, hey. So what I felt was she was cool. Plus, very fresh-faced the way they drew her. And I think to myself, well, that's lovely. And she's not even using anything fancy. She's in like a maid's outfit with an apron, but it's all good. All right.
This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
So that's what I'm talking about. She's classy, she's smart, she's brave, yet still feminine, all at the same time.
Austin
Paul.
Powers summarized everything you need to know there. My way.
So you don't like feminine, nice, smart women, Paul? Is that what I'm hearing here, Paul?
I don't
Paul?
Like cartoons to marry.
Yeah. Again, it's a... This is always weird. But to be honest with you, I'm putting some color in the list, Paul.
Well, as is my number 7, it's some color here. If you're going to have a man on your list, Wayne...
Oh, the dude.
I think it has to be Brad Pitt.
No, it has to be Henry Cavill. But no, okay,
well, sure.
Let's go with...
Well, you
let's
can go with Henry Cavill in whichever, probably the man from Uncle. I'm going with Brad Pitt. This will be controversial.
Yeah, who...
From Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Now, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, he's a bit older, but so am I. Okay. If I'm going to marry a guy, he needs to look like Brad Pitt, first of all. He has to be incredibly awesome with cool shit to say all the time, because I just want to be entertained with his stories. And it doesn't hurt that he's an indestructible World War II veteran who has all these stories from his time there. Apparently killed more Japanese than any other American soldier.
Mm.
But also specializes in knives and close quarter combat, so I don't have to worry about no shit no more. Ever.
Unless he beats you up, Paul, but okay.
You see him. He's fiercely loyal to Dalton in this film. He will go to the ends of the earth to protect his friend, let alone his husband.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Okay. I mean, I get it.
Save Dalton's life when he was caught on fire. Like, as far as I'm concerned, this man is unassuming. He lives in a little trailer and whatever else, so he's not got heirs.
He's also not going to provide for you, Paul, but okay, maybe you're the breadwinner.
Well, I am.
Maybe you're the breadwinner.
At least in this
one. And he's your trophy husband. That's what's happening. Yep. Okay. You turn up at balls. Now he's the guy playing.
People will be falling over themselves like, how did you get him?
This is the antithesis to your Charlize Theron
pick. It is a little bit.
So now he's the handbag.
I'm a complicated man.
Now he's the handbag. Yep. And now, oh, okay, I see what's going on. This is why I didn't buy the Charlize Theron thing. Okay, that's what's going on here.
This one you buy. Excellent.
Yeah, this one I buy. You definitely fuck Brad Pitt.
Well, Booth.
Whatever. Dals, yeah, that guy. Leonardo
DiCaprio's character. So there you go. That's one number seven.
Ah, good. Now, Paul, I've long held in a... look, take this with several grains of salt as a man who's unmarried and has no designs on marriage. Okay? But I always thought to myself...
Do you want to just repeat that?
Well, you know, that's why this was a joke. Because me talking about marriage is laughable.
It is laughable.
Okay.
Although there's some of the listener feedback at the end does call this into question, Wayne. You may need to address that. So we'll
sure,
get
happy to. Now, I've often thought to myself that, fellas, you don't marry the centerfold model if you come across one. You're better off marrying a girl that you just find beautiful as opposed to hot, I think. You know, because that will last longer for you. And also... if she's beautiful as opposed to hot, especially beautiful to you as opposed to hot, she's less likely to be fucking crazy. Now,
the old Barney Stinson hot.
Absolutely, the hot crazy line, okay? Line. And I know a girl who I think we both consider her quite hot, Paul, tennis shoes, remember her?
Oh, yeah.
She's crazy. All right? I had a breakfast with her recently. She's absolutely crazy. Still and crazy. I said it to her. I said, yo, I forgot you're hot and crazy. She goes, yeah. Like this? I'm like, okay.
At least there's hope if you acknowledge it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But still, anyway. So, as a result, my number seven is actually Rebecca Hall from the movie The Town. Sorry, she was played by Rebecca Hall.
Just watched this movie again.
Did you?
Yeah, for our Ben Affleck versus Matt Damon.
What did you think?
Look,
isn't she a lovely girl? Don't you think?
Barely recognize. She's got a good job.
She's a bank teller.
She had a good job. No, she's a manager. She's assistant manager or manager. I can't remember which.
That's the job I used to have. There you go. Yeah, so Claire Keezy is her name.
She has the key to the vault.
Ah,
tell Claire us don't have that shit.
Z. Okay. Oh yeah, good point. Actually, they kind of do. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. Look, whatever. She's a banker person. Okay. As was I. So I actually think that the way that she is, because she's this particular type of, I call it plain pretty. Right.
I would agree. She's not traditionally pretty, Rebecca Hall.
No, but she's got something.
She's a very tall one. You know that, right?
Is she tall?
I think so.
Okay. Well, in my world, she's around my height to lower. Okay.
Why not? We're playing fantasies.
Fantasies, exactly. And so I think that she's this particular type of pretty where I could look at it forever, as opposed to, holy shit, what's going on here? Which does have a bit of a diminishing returns thing going on. So,
well, does it? Some people, forget about women, get better with age. So, you know, George scores clue clue.
That's a dude.
I know, but I'm saying like as an example of someone who...
Absolutely. Have you seen Liz Hurley lately, Paul? Go check out her gram. She looks exactly the same and it's video, so it's not AI'd. All right? Amazing. So yes, this one here, she actually seemed like the perfect girlfriend for some reason. She's just making her way as a bank person. She's got a lovely disposition.
She's married cute to as a Sir button. Peter Hall.
Really?
So you have to be a knight to marry her.
As we know, Paul, this is a fantasy. She's not marrying
her. No. She's but 5'9½".
Look, I've done that before. But
what a shock.
It didn't go well.
Sometimes you open yourself up for it, Wayne, and I just have to walk through that door.
What's this sometimes shit? I do it every fucking show. So there you are. So anyway, yes, Rebecca Hall in The Town. She also banged Tony Stark, so that's something.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, so there anyway, you go.
You could be like Eskimo Brothers.
Yeah. Imagine being a fucking Wiener Cousins with Tony Stark. Now you're playing, baby. All right. That's why I like Rachel from Friends, too. Then I'd be Wiener Cousins with John Mayer. Forget about it.
That's all right. Wayne's goals in life.
Go ahead, Paulie. Your number what?
My number six is from one of my favorite films of all time. And this is a woman who not just fights for and stands beside her man to the very end, the end of her life. She kicks all the asses and Given her idealized choice of what she would look like, she chooses to wear leather and latex.
Who could this be and why am I not surprised?
It's Carrie Ann Moss, Trinity from The Matrix.
Yeah, look, big fan. I never saw her anywhere before this movie. She was in Memento, but I don't think, was that before The Matrix? I don't think so. I think
After 2001.
Yeah, so I had never seen her before, but I'm looking at her, I'm like, who's this lovely girl? Like, she's got this fresh face, beautiful kind of like short hair as well, Paul, but still very pretty.
Yeah, not really my thing normally, but in this whole sort of slick back.
Well, it allows her to move and kick ass because she got shorter hair. And it's not short hair, it's just a shortcut. So, I like her.
Yeah, and, you know, almost age inappropriate, but at the time.
How old is she then?
She's 8 years older than we are.
That's age appropriate as far as I'm concerned. It's fine if you're a young
Wayne
man, Paul.
Wayne cast his net wide. But what I'm talking about here is this particular personification of her in the early 90s and whatever else. So,
did you have much thought about her? You know,
late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. So The Matrix Revolutions, that had a whole different thing because she was almost a different character.
Yeah, again, I'm talking about someone who's like, if her version of herself is what you see in The Matrix, you know she's prepared to go places. Plus also that we'll die for you thing. That is nothing to scoff at.
Plus, you get to hang out in that Zion place where everyone's fucking.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's like, okay.
It's just dance party and sweat central.
Exactly.
If that's your thing.
Which is not my thing.
Not really
it's
my,
not
thing,
my
either.
Thing either. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's why she's here for me at number six.
I buy
Trinity.
It. Absolutely. Now, Paul, back in 1988, when you and I were mere pups.
But, yeah, absolutely. Good
We were just in high school. No, just like year eight, right? Just in high school.
But yet not even FUBAR-based friends.
Not even that. We really became friends in 90.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is potentially a throwback to my youth when I saw the movie Cocktail in 1988. Okay.
Do you like the way Wayne emphasized the word cock?
I don't think I did. I think it happened in your head, but okay.
Listen back.
All right.
The movie Cocktail.
Well, you'd think I'd actually emphasize tail, but never mind. I was at that time when I was, how old are you? How old are we? Like 13, 14, 15?
Turning 50 in 1990.
15,
in 1988,
yeah.
We're turning 13.
13, okay. I, in my silly
youth. You were
13
at the start of 1988.
Sorry. I had this weird, like, kind of odd fantasy where in my youth, I was relatively sure that I could spend a few years being a bartender around the world.
In that case, there's only one song that can actually back you here.
Of course. And I could then sort of, you know, do this thing that Tom Cruise did in that movie where you just be a bartender for a while, you hook up with women for like, I give myself 3 years, okay? Maybe 2 or 3 years before settling upon a career and becoming a real man. I never did any of that, by the way. But in that movie, the girl from it, I speak of Elizabeth Shue in Cocktail, she was, I thought at the time, she was, that's right, the perfect woman, okay? And I would Kokomo all over the place.
You would Kokomo.
Yeah, okay, there you go. All right, so that's better. Like, she, I don't know, the whole thing about this, like, because she was lovely. She's beautiful, right? She's the chick from The Karate Kid, okay? So there's that. You can turn that down now. And she, I actually didn't know that a woman would ever do it with you in a waterfall, Paul, but she did.
How many women have you done it with?
Zero.
Right.
Zero.
Life goals, zero. Future Wayne partners, and current Wayne partner.
Have you ever done it in a pool?
I tried.
Yeah, it's fucking difficult because the water floats your dick around and you can't really put it in. And then also, it's like,
water, anyway.
It's not very lubricating.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
yeah, I know.
So I decided to back out before going into the description.
No, I got in there,
and
but
if
I
you
was
here
like
in the room with Wayne. You also got the graphic representation with his hands.
But yes, anyway, and also on a slightly thirsty note, her proportions in the film was something I had not to date seen at the time,
okay.
Which is a girl whose cha-chas are slightly out of a slightly too big for her frame.
Right.
Which was like, at the time I thought, that's fantastic. And it still is.
At the time. Like, we go through the same joke by a different means.
Yes, okay. Paul, you're number five.
My number five might be the most realistic and least exciting of them all because she's based on a real person in real life.
Mm.
I'm talking From a Beautiful Mind, Jennifer Connelly as Elisa Nash.
No!
Oh, you've got
no,
it.
No, I've got it there as well because Russell Crowe's an insane bitch, right?
Yes.
And she's still into it.
Yes.
And she made the first move, bro. She made the first move.
I get all those notes as well as the fact she's smart as fuck because she's in his same course.
Yes. Which means she can keep up with him even though motherfucker crazy. right?
Like, that's unbelievable. Like, she would tolerate all that bullshit.
Exactly, because Russell Crowe's a cunt in this movie, right?
Well, he goes through moments, through his illness and the like. And
he comes off like a cunt because he's a bit of a...
At times, he does.
Remember the scene in A Beautiful Mind, right? Where him and his boys are in the bar or something, and then there's chicks walking in, and apparently back then in that time, you could easily say, the blonde is the hottest one, and that's how it is, right? So then he would say, sure. he gives out this thing saying, hey, here's what you do in order to get the blonde.
Can you imagine ignoring... Jennifer Connelly in a group of women saying the other one's hot? Like, no.
Well, we can't now because she's famous, but...
I think she is one of the most stunning women ever.
Remember back in, what was that Nick Nolte film? Mulholland Falls?
Mm-hmm.
And she was in that, and then she was in Rocketeer and stuff like that. She used to be like...
Rocketeer is the one where she rocketed into my brain.
There you go, buddy. You feel proud of that.
Several times this episode, Wayne. Several times.
Do you remember she was such a full-figured lady back then? She had she was
voluptuous.
Voluptuous. But in recent times, she's actually quite slender now. And she's actually got a different, still beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, all good. Like,
Top Gun
she's
Maverick.
Yeah, Top Gun Maverick, beautiful, man. So yeah, absolutely. And again,
this is the crossover we've had on this. I reckon there might be one more, maybe.
Probably. But what I do think, though, is that I think what we both like, and probably all men, if I want to be generalist, which I do, we like an understanding lady, right? Like, we all think that we have idiosyncrasies because we're people, right? And then a woman who's understanding and also cute as a button, mm-hmm. How are you going to beat that, Paul?
Yeah, to someone who's prepared to tolerate your shite. Obviously, you have to tolerate her shite, too. It's a two-way street.
But, absolutely. Yeah. But, maybe her shite is in congruence with your own? Mm. Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't it?
There you go. So, right.
What do you got for your five?
My number five is, no surprises here, but it's Mary Jane Watson as played by Kirsten Dunst. Now,
I think she's got a lot of issues, but all right, go ahead.
She does, Paul. Oh, I don't know if she does or she doesn't. The whole issue she had was that she was dating Harry Osborn, okay? And Peter Parker was right there. And I think, now here's something that we should talk about. You know this term people use, the girl next door?
Yeah, sure.
She literally was next door to Peter Parker, mm-hmm. right? I've never identified with
Sam
that.
The Sam Raimi films, right?
Yes, the Sam Raimi ones. Yeah, so not Zendaya, yep. Definitely.
Or Zendaya, yeah. Well.
You're a Zendaya fan?
Yeah, I am. Obviously way too young. So
no, not for me though at all, really, for some reason. But like this one. I think why I noticed her, she was wearing a red cheongsam in the first Spider-Man, which is the, and I like that whole thing just worked.
Oh, apparently you are Asian.
But you see the contrast because it was a white girl wearing a cheongsam.
Once again, ladies.
But it was because the coloring worked. It was a red one and she's a ranger, so it works good.
Okay.
Anyway, so what I did like about her, though, and what made me think that she could actually make someone that you would be with forever until you died, is that she was, again, understanding. She did eventually find out. She didn't find out for a long time that Peter Parker was Spider-Man. But his weirdness, she was on board
with it.
The
second one. I
think it was the second. Yeah, it was the third. It was, the third one started with them on the web together. So, yes, it was the second one. Okay. But, yeah. Plus... Kirsten Dunst, there's something about her. She's pretty, but not too pretty. Do you know what I mean? She seems like...
Attainable?
Yes, let's say within reach.
In a fantasy level only.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's what this episode is, just to remind people.
Exactly. But I think that her unthreatening prettiness is something that you could have a lovely swell life
with. I think we both appreciated her back in the day of this particular... age now.
I've not seen her lately, actually. What's she done lately? I'm thinking about it.
Off my head.
Yeah, so, but I'm sure she's still great. By the way, have you seen Bridget Fonda lately?
No.
Google it and get back to me.
No, I know what you're talking about, though.
All right. I'm just saying.
Life doth all treat us differently.
Absolutely.
My number four, Wayne, is when we get to real fantasy land. It is Wonder Woman, not in Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Not in Wonder Woman 1984, but Wonder Woman in...
Linda Carter?
Batman versus Superman, Colin, Dawn of Justice. Why, you might
say.
Yeah,
why? Why her?
It's because by that stage in her life, she has been... ingratiated into regular society well enough that she not just passes by. She got a good job. She's obviously hyper intelligent. She's hot AF.
I don't know if she's hyper intelligent, but she's fucking strong.
Well, she's doing whatever high level job she is at the museum and shit because she knows all history.
Museum, Paul.
Right. Well,
look, I aspired to be a museum
all
guy.
All people.
She's Dana.
Again, this is coming from the artist.
No, she's Dana White from fucking Ghostbusters. That's what's going on there. She's a curator of some sort, I think. Very which is still a lovely thing, but it's not like a physicist kind of.
No, all right. So she's not going to fly to the moon, although she probably could.
Oh, she could definitely do that. She could definitely do that. Or take you there, Paul. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
now you get into it. So impressively intelligent, incredibly powerful, and stunningly beautiful. Let's not overlook that part. And if you wanted to use the lasso of truth on me for other things,
there it is. There, you know what?
Am I to say no on that basis?
Well, you can't because it's a lasso of truth, Paul. And that's the problem. If she ties you up and she's like, "What do you like?" And, "I want you in my hole," or something like that. You know, you can't be too truthful.
My hole, but anyway.
No, that's what I'm saying. Your ass, man. Maybe it's a truth that you don't know. You know what I'm saying?
It's a truth I do know.
I'll tell you something. We'll see, Paulie. So, I'll tell you something else though. Wonder Woman would accidentally rip your dick off. Don't you think?
Don't.
She would accidentally, and she wouldn't even need to use her hands.
If that's the case, then
she could talk it off, man. Then,
if that's the case, then Henry Cavill can never have a Superman. Henry Cavill can never have a lover. Yeah, he's got Amy Adams.
No, no. Yeah, it's a good point. No, he would rip that shit up.
No, he would just explode. That's too graphic.
He would have to blow like to the right.
I like the way I'm pretending like this is PG-13 episode right now.
I've never fucking thought that, Paul. I don't know what you're fucking doing.
My point is, you're willing to talk about someone's dick being ripped off, but you're not willing to talk about male superheroes.
I don't know. I'm willing to talk about that. Like, Superman can't actually fuck Lois Lane. Oh, he can, but he's got to be, like, real ginger about it, right? And then when he blows his beans, he's got to, like, cough to the side.
What do you get? You know. So he blows his beans and he puts holes in walls?
Well, I don't know if his beans would actually be, like, pow! I think it's just, like, green or something.
Green, that's kryptonite.
Look, what happens is, what we have to decide here is that if Superman is super in everything, then all of his muscles, including his pelvic floor muscles, right, actually, like, they don't just contract, they go boom like this, right? And I don't think they do, otherwise he would have to walk fast everywhere, you know what I'm saying? So I think he's just blowing beans that, look, it'll be a good burst, but it wouldn't necessarily hurt her, but who knows.
9 years. That's amounted to this.
Paul, if this show isn't about superhero busting nuts, I don't know what it's about. All right?
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
My number four is yet another ranger, but it's...
Shock.
I know.
Fucking horror.
But it's Molly from Molly's Game. Also a little along your lines.
Jessica actually Chastain?
Jessica, as played by Jessica Chastain, although Molly Bloom is in fact a real person.
Yes.
Now, let's get honest
this
here.
This is weird. So Wayne's got two in his top... Four who that are real people.
Yeah, but I'm going with the movie version therein. I'm not sure how truthful.
We don't know. We're only going by the movie depiction.
Yeah. Now let's just be honest here. All of the women I've mentioned are all far too good for me.
That's the whole thing.
Exactly. All right. But like, what I liked about Molly's Game is, now think about this, Lady Paul. She was
That's a pick-em.
She was, first of all, an Olympic skier with a bit of a cunty dad. So Kevin Costner, bit of an asshole to her, pushed her too hard, fucked up her back. All right, but she went and did it anyway. She did have some bad luck and really fucked up her back at the Olympics. Then she goes back to Hollywood. She's working a job and she basically starts an illegal, not illegal gambling.
Has to deal with fucking Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire and all these people, right? In the movie, it's Michael Cera, but yes, it's Tony Maguire in real life. And she goes and transforms from that Olympic-level skier to the most exclusive poker club owner in the world and still works within the system and, in fact, makes detrimental monetary decisions so that because she doesn't want people who owe her money to get hurt. So much so that Idris Elba is like, word, you know what I'm saying? And so she is like actually... Because he didn't want to represent her as a lawyer, but then he realized that the reason she was doing certain things was that people didn't get hurt.
Person.
And he goes, fuck. And then he has to represent her because he admires her.
That makes a lot more sense than just word.
There's a bit of word in there, though, I think you'll find. Anyway, I think it's just kind of an admiration thing. Yes, she's Jessica Chastain and I love her, but she's also this amazing person.
Good person, yeah.
If your career ends as an Olympian... What do you do next? And then she does this? And then moves within the mob?
Become a commentator.
Yeah. Actually, Ben Cousins is one now, isn't he? I think he is.
No, I think he's coaching.
No, I've seen him in the paper. He's talking.
Don't get me wrong. They'll publish whatever he has to say about whatever he wants to say if it's to do with football. But yeah. No, I don't. Maybe he's getting paid to write one column a week, but he's not a football commentator. He's working at some grassroots level, maybe reserves or maybe even waffle coach. I'm not sure.
Oh, good for him-ish. All right, so
there's
there you
a reference that the next last 20 seconds can never replace for an outside
that's
of
Aussie
Australia.
Rules football thing, people which I know nothing about.
Which is amazing that Wayne could even reference it, to be honest.
Exactly. So Molly from Molly's Game is my number four.
My number three, I need to put this one in here.
Bring it.
Because yes, you might be shocked to hear I'm married to an Asian woman. You're not if you follow the show. So I need to have an Asian woman here. And this is one of the finest of them all.
Hang on, can I guess?
Rich AF, Wayne.
So is it Maggie Q?
No.
Hang on.
Keep going.
Asians that Paul digs that, or in addition to his wife.
a secondary to my wife.
And she's rich. And this, the character is
character's
rich.
I mean, presumably the actor's also rich, but yeah, that's besides the why.
Rich Asian women. She's not in Crazy Rich Asians.
She is.
Oh, it's motherfucking that chick, Gemma Chan.
She is Gemma Chan.
Astrid
Leongto. Poor Leongto, Astrid, has lost her husband because he's a cheating prick.
Ah, and now Paul's dick gets to just sidle on in. That's get it.
Made to be she's rich as one of the crazy rich Asians of the title doesn't hurt, but and smoking hot as well, and yet she's the faithful one in the relationship. Like, come on.
Yeah, look, it's always nice when your wife doesn't cheat on you.
Yeah.
I assume.
As I hear.
As I hear. You're going to pay for that one.
And have lived.
Yes, clarify. Of course. So do you prefer her in this one or do you prefer her in like Eternals or something?
No, this one.
Yeah, because this way she ain't going to rip your dick
off. This one I legitimately watched her and went, who is that? How have I never seen her before?
Really?
Oh my God.
Yeah, not for me at all, but not a big surprise. But she's lovely, I suppose. I get that. Sure, absolutely. And look, it's always...
I'm just thinking about the hole you're digging yourself.
I'm fine.
Okay, good.
No one listens to this show, Paul.
Rangers white chicks only.
No, I didn't say Rangers white chicks only. I absolutely have dug... We finally get here
to the way Wayne will backtrack real far.
No. There's a Victoria's Secret model who's Asian. She's absolutely gorgeous. So absolutely.
I'm not the gorgeousness of Gemma Chan? Damn.
There's something. Yeah, she's pretty. She's like academically pretty to me, where it's just not my jam, but I understand why you like her. That kind of thing.
You are your own master of your domain.
Exactly. So.
What do you got for number three?
It was Alicia Nash from Beautiful Mind. That's where I put her. So let's go back to
you. Number two, Wayne. This is the only other crossover where potentially might have, and I have to be true to my roots. And also my youth. It's Catherine Tramell.
What? Bullshit's going to kill you. You're going to marry her and she'll kill you right in the ass.
Look, what is life without some risk, Wayne?
Look at this motherfucker trying to like hang with fucking murderers and shit. I'm going to marry me a murderer and then I'll be interested.
We don't know she's a
murderer. You'd be dead, but you'd be interested.
You can ignore the fuck out of Basic Instinct 2, one of the worst sequels of all time.
And we always do.
Focus on this film. Well, we're not sure. If I had been the age I was then, all due respect to my daughter now, if she says, I don't want Rugrats, okay, cool. No Rugrats for me. High five, bam.
No shit, motherfucker. When we were that age, all kinds of shit would have
said
yes.
But who wants a nice, comfortable, safe existence when you can live on the edge?
Me. If a bitch is about to kill me, I will not go with her. How about that, Paul?
I'm defending her for not being a killer, but she's got a reputation for maybe being a killer. I'm going to take that chance to be with Catherine Tramell.
Oh, my God. This is so weird. Like, listen. Listen, your girlfriend's very nice, but she's not almost a murderer like mine.
Who's winning the race? That would be my next question.
I think the alive guy might win. I'm just saying.
But I'm not dead if I'm asking the question.
Yeah, but at that moment. Okay, I guess you'll be... You know what? It's the whole, the candle that burns twice as bright.
Right, yeah. It
goes half as long. Yeah, yeah. So there you go. Look, so
if I get murdered at some point after having done this deed, that's on me.
on a personal note for this though, right? If you think your wife might be a murderer and she might kill you,
adds an edge.
Well, does it make your dick harder or softer? Because harder. If I'm like,
oh, sure.
She's leaning back. Is that an ice pick in her hand? I think my dick might go down.
If there's any chance that Jerry Goldsmith's score could just play while that's all happening, definitely harder.
You could make that happen. You could make that happen. She's like, why are you wearing earbuds? You're like, shut up, woman.
Then I will be
shut up and stab
place.
Me, won't yeah. Exactly. So, all right, there you are. Nice one.
What do you got for number two?
All right, my number two. This is something I've always thought, and I actually said it when we saw this movie. Do you remember a film from the 90s called Disclosure, Paul?
Oh, God, yes.
No, it's not Demi Moore. It is, in fact, Michael Douglas's wife in the movie. Her name is, the actress was named either Carolyn Goodall or Susan Handler.
I like the way you've made the effort to work this fucking thing out.
Hang on. Carolyn Goodall was the actress and Susan Handler was his wife.
Okay, right? That's better.
So now what happens in Disclosure, okay, is for anyone who hasn't seen it, you should see it because it's a wonderful celebration of 90s technology.
30 years old.
Yeah, I love this movie though, right? It's like, it's got 90s tech in it, which means everyone's phone looks like a 90s phone and he's using AI, also sort of like... kind of like VR shit, which looks shitty, but it's hilarious. Anyway, the deal is, he's like the head of technology at this company where Donald Sutherland is his boss, and then Demi Moore comes in, and she used to bang Michael Douglas because Michael Douglas banged everyone. And
literally.
So, literally, right? But then she decides she wants him back, even though he's got a wife and kids now, so she totally kind of butt rapes him. Not really butt rapes him, but like kind of jumps him in an office while...
In other words, Wayne is like, goals.
Wait a minute. I'm not, Demi Moore is not my lady. It's Michael Douglas's actual wife. So what happens is, right?
Good point.
So she tries to fuck him.
Butt rape anyone.
He doesn't butt rape. He's like dick rape, right? So she tries to fuck him and he stops it at the last minute while still getting a bit of play. And then he's like, no. She gets angry. She's like, come back and finish what you started, motherfucker. Yeah. Anyway, next day he comes to work. She starts chucking his shit. She puts a fucking sexual harassment claim on him. And he's like, dude, she tried to harass me. Everyone's like, it's the 90s. No one does that.
Yeah.
And it starts to become a thing. And there's this merger that's happening. And what happens is he's got a friend at work who just sells him down the river. Dennis. That guy. Dennis someone. Dennis. He's Dennis.
Just look it up.
Dennis Miller. All right. So... At dinner with his wife the next night, Dennis Miller and his wife and Michael Douglas and his wife, he fucking drops it and goes, hey, so apparently, you know, you're screwing up this whole merger because this woman is trying to fuck you. This, and he hasn't told his wife yet that he's the, and he's like, thanks very much. Yeah, the wife.
Worst friend ever.
Worst friend ever. But the wife, without knowing anything, says to the hugger, hey, he's told me all about this and I support him 100% without knowing anything. All right. I said, I want to marry that woman. Obviously, the next scene, he's got to pay for it by fucking getting on his knees and saying, I'm sorry I didn't tell you and this and that and this and that. She understands that he used to be a player, Paul. She understands he used to be a player and then still does it anyway. So what I'm saying is she's the world's most supportive woman.
Imagine why, Wayne. You think this is a desirable character to marry.
Listen, I think we both need to be understanding in a relationship. So there you go. So yes, Michael Douglas's wife in Disclosure named Susan.
All right,
there you go.
That one's out of left field.
Left field, my friend. Left
my
field.
My 10 through 2, then revealing my number 1. Number 10, Veronica Mars. Number 9, Charlotte Field from Long Shot. Number 8, Carolina from Desperado / B-Choice. Antonio Banderas at El Mariachi. Number 7, Booth from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Number 6, Trinity from The Matrix. Number 5, Alicia Nash from A Beautiful Mind. Number 4, Wonder Woman. From Diana Prince from Batman vs. Superman, : Dawn of Justice. 3, Astrid Longto, Gemma Chan from Crazy Rich Asians. Of course, Catherine Tramell, Sharon Stone from Basic Instinct number 2. And my number 1, Wayne.
Go on.
And here's what kicked it to the highest level.
Keep going.
Is an immortal vampire who kicks all the asses and is willing to get involved with no vampire. So she's just showing, like, she's not speciesist. Quite keen and happy to be involved with someone who's not a vampire. She's also a vampire elder with the access to all of their resources, i.e. billions of dollars. So she lives a pretty comfortable life and therefore so would I.
Paul's trying to fuck money, everyone.
Doesn't hurt that after about 700 years of life, her chosen wardrobe, by the way, is figure-hugging latex, tall boots and tight corsets.
Are we talking about Kate Beckinsale?
Oh, we are. In the Underworld series,
okay.
Celine is my number 1 choice.
I do see some practical choices here. And Paul is nothing if not a pragmatist.
Yeah, well, you know.
Not only is she immortal and will probably make you immortal.
And yeah, well, that's the other point. That was the final. That's what, this was like 4 on my list and I went, hang on. At any point, I go, you know what, Celine, I don't want to die. Just make me immortal.
So you can. So you're happy to kill people, like, after this? Because sure. That's how you live, right?
Sure.
Because fuck people, right?
Whatever.
I'm assuming
that there's that moral quandary differs when it's, like, life or death. But now I would kill no one. Then I'd kill everyone.
Okay. If Paul seems paler than normal one day, people, fucking run, all right? But yes, I see this. You could literally live forever rich with a hot wife.
Yes.
I mean, it's a hard, it's not a difficult thing.
It's not hard. Very hard.
Yes. It would be hard.
But
actually,
also,
do we know that vampires pound in that universe?
Oh, absolutely.
They pound, right?
This is a very sexy blue filtered world.
Yeah. Fucking Len Wiseman.
I don't need the blue filter.
No, you don't.
I can do without
no
that.
No one needs the blue filter. Len Wiseman. Look, he married her, so he's done something right, but whatever. So, okay, fantastic. Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
What's your number? Wayne, give us your 10 through 2 and then reveal your number 1.
Okay, 10, Arwen from Lord of My Ring. 9, Eloise from Last Night in Soho. 8, Belle from Beauty and the Beast. I know. 7, Rebecca Hall in The Town. 6, Elizabeth Shue in Cocktail.
Honestly, sound like you said Rebecca Hall.
I mean, the hole would come into play. So, whatever, Paul. You walk into that shit and you knew what would happen. So, number 5, Mary Jane Watson in the Spider-Man universe. Molly from Molly's Game is my number 4. 3, Alicia Nash from A Beautiful Mind. 2, Susan from Disclosure. And my number 1, Paul, I don't know if you know this or not, but this show, this episode could almost, for me, be called Manic Dream Pixie Girl.
Oh, I'm surprised. Oh, God, it's not from Scott Pilgrim.
No.
Oh, thank God.
Who's she? Oh, you mean
your fucking favorite,
nice
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh, no. I would do that to piss you off, but I didn't this time.
Okay, good.
Now, manic pixie dream girls are usually static characters who have an eccentric personality quirks and are unabashedly girlish, and they invariably serve as the romantic interest for the dude.
Take it back!
Nope, fuck you. My number 1 is Kate Winslet in The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Now...
That is stunning.
It is, and I'll tell you why, Paul. The character, she's a rainbow-haired kook, and usually I'm not into that, all right? But... She's so impulsive and lovely and wonderful. And this is probably a factor of the way it is in the movie, because it's happening in his mind and he's memorying. Sorry, you're displaying his memory and his wonderful memory of her.
Is it all purely from his perspective? I can't remember.
Yeah, because you do see her in real life, but it's only after the breakup.
Right.
So whenever he goes back in flashbacks, and she's always playing, like hanging around and being nice to him and, come on, hang out with me and let's go into this old abandoned house and talk shit for a while. Because it's like you're showing how he loved her. It becomes like, wouldn't it be great if she was just the girl that did that for you? Now, I also acknowledge that it is a fantasy.
Oh, well. This episode, why?
Yeah, I get it. But I'm saying like that, and I don't even really dig Kate Winslet like physically, not much.
Really? Yeah, this does not work.
Not at all. But in that movie, she was absolutely like captivating, and I couldn't keep my eyes off her or on my mind off her. So Kate Winslet in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is my number one.
The Hotless Mind.
Hotless Mind.
Freudian slips are alive and well.
good one. But there you go, Paul.
That's it. And that's zero on Wednesday, Dwayne. Well done on your list.
Cool. Let me drop a few ones.
Run us past your...
Initially, I had Renee Zellweger in Jerry Maguire, but then I realized she was a little whiny because I saw it recently, so no. Anna de Armas in No Time to Die, as long as she didn't kill me.
That was very close to mine, but she wasn't long enough to really know what she's like.
Same with Ilsa in Mission Impossible. Didn't go to my list because she might kill me.
That did shock me.
Right.
I'm not worried about being killed, clearly.
Okay. But Kate Beckinsale in Van Helsing. That's
corsets, that's long actually, boots.
That's as good as it gets. Rosamund Pike from Reacher. Yeah. Yeah, you know, because it's me and Rosamund Pike, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And as a weird thing, Michelle Monaghan in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah, sure. She's very, very loved adorable. Her. Well done, sir. That's our list. What about yours? We end every episode, other than big announcements, with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Unquestionably our finest jingle we've ever done. And on this 9th anniversary of the show, we kick it off with Joey DiCarlo, a regular contributor and wonderful podcaster. And I say in his own right, even though they've done 500 episodes already and are one of the stalwarts in the community. So the So Wizard podcast, do check them out. Joey said, Dizzy Flores from Starship Troopers. She's hot and she can protect me from bugs.
Which one's that?
The redhead.
Oh, yeah.
So what's her name?
What's her name? Can't remember. Dana something?
Yes.
Is it Dana something?
It is Dana something. Dina Meyer. Well done, Wayne. Dina Meyer. Very, very close. Then next up, Joy from Blade Runner 2049. She's hot and you can shut her off.
You were worried about me, Paul. You were worried about me.
Just listeners. I can't control them.
Good. Keep going, motherfucker.
And Scarlet Witch, she's hot, she's crazy, she wants to make a family.
Oh, God, she would fuck you up.
Mina Harker, aka Dan. He did. Dan went back and said, shit, my wife's in this group. my wife. But he did say, Nancy Travis is Harriet Michaels in So I Married an Ex-Murderer because she's not afraid to get her hands dirty. Number two, Margaret Whitten as Rachel Phelps in Major League so I can divorce her and take the team. Well done. I almost played that card.
Oh, really?
Marry a rich character and then divorce them. And the number one, Kerry Russell as Jenna in Waitress because who doesn't love pie? I don't know. That's a
I don't know if another one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, not. Fair enough.
Jonas Lander, another patron of the show, said, will Wayne do the husband one or do I just know it will be Henry Cavill spelled 10 different ways? Ellen Ripley, he's number three. I mean, if I made that cut, that would say more about me than her. Number two, Yu Shu Lin from Michelle Yeoh from Couch and Tiger, Hidden Dragon. We are talking peak Michelle Yeoh, and as a martial arts guy, it would be fun.
A few bust your ass, big time.
And number one, this is easy. Morticia fucking Adams, freaking Adams, he said. I mean, we are talking either Carolyn Jones, Angelica Houston, Charlize Theron animator, or Catherine Zeta-Jones. And the love and dedication between them is life goals.
Did Charlize Theron play Morticia Adams?
Yeah, as the animated version.
Oh, yes. Okay.
David Powell, one of the co-hosts of the We Watch the Thing podcast. We'll hear from Billy just shortly. Do check them out. They're Potty Mouth Network. Stormy Lewin from Addison Timlin from Odd Thomas. Hot, smart and funny. Okay. Sophie Sheridan, Amanda Seyfried from Mamma Mia. For fuck's sake, David.
Really?
She's cute. She can sing and she owns a hotel. No, she doesn't. Her mother owns a hotel on a Greek island. She can't sing. Cute? Sure, maybe.
She's not even cute. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah.
So between the two of us, David, that is dismissed. And Margot from The Menu loves a good burger. And she's an ex-sex worker, so she probably doesn't mind getting a bit freaky in the sack.
Burger.
Plus, she looks like Anya Taylor-Joy, which is about as David an answer as you would ever get. Matt Evans said number 3, Lieutenant Huxley, i.e. Sandra Bullock from Demolition Man. Have some fun.
Yeah.
Get into some mischief in the year 2032.
That's
a good one.
I did like her then. That's true.
Nicole, as in Natalie Portman, Hesha from Hesha. Wholesome days watching movies on a couch and maybe enticed to dress up at night, a.k.a. medieval comic cosplay. Natalie Portman from Your Highness.
Sure. Sure.
I'm not sure you can mix characters like
that. I don't know. Yeah, it seems like a bit of an odd one. But there you go.
And then Grace, i.e. Kim Cattrall from Big Trouble in Little China. Old stupid Jack Burton left you in his truck. Come let me show you a life of high adventure, beautiful green eyes.
She's okay. She's okay. She's okay. Plus Jack Burton, I would have moved on
to. Sorry, Matt. Adelaide Spence said Rachel McAdams in Game Night. Rachel McAdams in About Time. And... not going the trifecta, Holly Hunter in Broadcast News.
What, really? See, I'll go Rachel McAdams in About Time, for sure.
You would, I'm sure. Rachel Webb, now, formerly of the Comic Confidential podcast.
I remember Rachel.
Lovely to hear from Rachel. Said Peter Mallach from The Hunger Games, absolutely radiates golden retriever energy and brings an endless supply of bread and cakes. Bonus points for earning the nickname Peter Rizlark in recent times. Don't know what that reference means, but I'm sure it's meaningful
kind of him, yep.
To fans of the series. Then Patrick Verona in 10 Things I Know About You. Okay, he's Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger.
He's tough and sexy and sweet and low and funny. And he supports Cat's musical endeavors.
Isn't it weird that Batman and the Joker were in the same movie?
And then Noah from The Notebook. If you're a bird, I'm a bird. I have and need no other reasons, he said in capitals.
Okay. These are all odd choices, but interesting.
Well,
we don't know men.
And then lovingly, and this is beautiful, she also contributed her husband's picks for this.
I mean, sure. Everyone's trying not to get in trouble. I
Hubby get coming with his answers. Selena from Underworld, Kate Beckinsale, got to love women in latex.
Nice.
Yep. High five to there your you husband, go.
Pulls
Rachel.
Pulls in.
Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot. Enough said.
Good God. He's and on your
number
team.
Number one, Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson. It's the latex again. Plus, she travels a lot and she's got connections.
I think we know what his thing is. I think we know.
Hope you two enjoy yourselves, Rachel.
Exactly.
Which is pretty much how everyone's been judging us. But anyway.
No, it's fine.
Timothy Williams said, Kelly LeBrock from Lisa, Weird Science. Smart, beautiful, can show you a thing or two.
Sure.
Two. Cassandra Peterson from Elvira, i.e. Elvira from Elvira.
Really?
Two pretty good reasons to pick. Plus, she's funny and takes no shit.
Sure.
And number one, Jennifer Lawrence, Mystique from the X-Men movies. I mean, she's already Jennifer Lawrence. Then she could be anyone else who ever existed. That is an excellent answer.
No, someone said that, but she's evil, man. Also, I would go Rebecca Romijn and Stamos if I'm going to go Mystique. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's my goal, but yeah, absolutely. But look, J-Law, great too. Absolutely.
That would work the same. Role-playing would never be the same again.
Again, she's going to kill you.
Tom Newton Craig said, Kristen Melody, Sarah from Palm Springs. Bit of a Wayne pick, but I generally relate to her.
I
wonder if it's a Wayne pick because it's Girl Next Door, because you didn't like this movie.
I did, and I also don't care for her, but I understand what the in spirit it is. It is the type of thing I would do.
Karen Allen from Marrying Ravenwood, of course, from Raised Lost Ark. Spunky, smart, and a decent bartender. Can also hold her own in a fight, mate. So
sure. Yeah. She can drink like a motherfucker.
And lastly, Darcy, a.k.a. Kat Dennings from Thor. Please insert the soundboard of Captain Holt speaking of breasts, making all logic fly out the window. Your wish, sir, is my command.
Unfortunately.
You know me. I see a pair of thick, Jesus weighty Christ. Breasts, and are all these, logic flies out the window.
Are these really loud? Is that what's happening now?
Nope.
Okay. By the way, Kat Dennings is probably one of my secret favorite Marvel characters, for sure. She's fun.
She should be secret. Not anyone's favorite, that's for sure. The aforementioned B Dizzle from the We Watch the Thing podcast and the Potty Mouth Network said number 3, Kate Beckinsale in Underworld. I think we have our listener favorite. Mm-hmm. Number 2, Jessica Rabbit, Billy. This is a cartoon, mate.
See, I went with the nice cartoon. He's gone with the new Jack Titty cartoon.
You and
cartoon.
Wayne can just go over
it's
there
fine,
and cartoon
fine.
It up. And number 1, Ana de Armas in Knives Out. Not No Time
no,
to
look,
Die.
Knives Out, she's definitely softer and more approachable. The other one also might kill you. I think we got our theme going on.
All right, that is it for. Thank you so much, everyone who got back to us with their feedback on this topic, which I thought we'd get no feedback whatsoever. So well done to those people brave enough to let us know.
I.e., good topic.
Sure. Sure. Wayne, before we have the big announcement, tell us how the good folk get back in touch with their feedback, or indeed just let us know shit about the show.
Sure. Go ahead, Google the Countdown Podcast, find our socials, follow the shit out of them. There's links in the show notes. Give us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com or. Visit our website, thecountdownpodcast.com.
Follow us on X, The Countdown PC, and like and follow the show on Podbean, where we host. We've mentioned the Facebook listener community. That's where you get involved in discussions that are most pertinent to the show, including voting / also giving your feedback on the topics at hand, if I didn't say that already. Now, Wayne, episode 468, we haven't decided.
We haven't decided yet.
So, no announcement about that. Instead, It's time here for a big discussion.
Sure.
Not a discussion. A small discussion / announcement about the show. 9 years in, almost all of our 40s. You were 40 when we started the show. I was 3 months away, 4 months away from it.
Yeah, so now I'm 49, you're 48.
I am 48, turning 49 in July. So the show, ladies and gentlemen, is coming to an end as we know it.
Yes, it's not a complete end, to be fair, but the weekly episodes, you know, it's after 9 years, it's run its course. We're afraid we're getting a bit stale for you guys.
Oh, yeah, I think even the most loyal listeners of the show would say, I enjoy it. Yeah, arguing the same points.
But it's been around for a while.
Saying the same things. We have struggled for topics, which is why we changed it to be topics of anything. But even that proved difficult than we thought.
So the state going forward then, Paul, I think is that we're not going completely away. All right, you'll still always have our back catalog to jump around on if you ever feel like it. We will probably move to a less frequent format.
We 100% are moving to a less frequent format. Okay, we are
definitely. So what we will probably do is we'll still do movie reviews.
So here's the thing. So we're going to go to episode 500.
Yep.
We're going to finish it. Episode 500 will be the last weekly edition of the show. That does give you a good 32 episodes to adjust to this change, which we thought was a nice, respectful way for the 400 or 500 people who listen every week without fail, regardless. And then, you know, look, most of our episodes do better than that, a lot better than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we know people don't tune into everything.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, our average listener is high, much, much higher than that. But we know the stalwarts. But it has started
to drop away. And that's probably the final nail, I think, in the show's coffin. If we were going up repeatedly, we probably peaked around just before COVID hit. The end of 2019, start of 2020 was when we were at our absolute highest and we're just every year gaining listeners and this thing could take over the internet. We could be Joe Rogan one day.
Yeah.
Not really, for all honest, but
yeah,
doing very, very well. And since then, it's been kind of stagnating and then slightly dropping away. And I don't think that's the same case for all of our brethren, but obviously a lot of shows that where our peers have dropped off. And
a lot of people we started just with recently, aren't there anymore.
Yeah, movie reviews said they're ending. Now I'm hearing that maybe they might hang around with an offer of other people editing. Wonderful if that's the case. But we want to give you lots of notice. So the show will end on a weekly basis as of November. That's about when it maps out. Middle of November will be 500 episodes. That's a lovely place to go out. It gives us time to do topics like today, which probably a little bit off the beaten track.
Mm-hmm.
And also time for you. If you are a fan of the show, there's always a topic you want us to do, which you've not had the wherewithal. No, that's not the right word. You didn't want to intrude on our thing. Now's the time.
Intrude.
Get involved. We're going to be doing some out there topics. Listenership is less important to us in these last 32 episodes than it is honoring the long-term fans of the show. And then as Wayne suggested, it won't end full stop.
Yeah.
The show will stop weeklies in middle of November, and then we are going to come back for the best and worst of the year, TV and film-wise, recorded around Christmas and maybe just after, early in the new year.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to come back if we get invited to an important screener of a show.
Guest out here and there.
Yep. Or if we have a topic we might get together every 4 months to do a top 10 last 10.
And I will tell you this, we haven't discussed this properly, but I'm going to keep the Facebook listener community page open.
Yeah, why not?
And even the fucking messenger with the patrons in it, it'll just be, you know, if you want to
keep talking. The Patreon will end. We're not going to ask anyone for money when we're not producing. And I don't think we produce enough these days either. So
in November,
you can
stay a patron. We'll still have all your same benefits.
We're going to try and continue to put stuff out there, although we do need to recommit to that way.
Yes, absolutely.
We don't do it every month, and we need to if we're going to charge people for it.
Sure.
But look, we understand now. So many of you have been such loyal supporters. Some of you have listened to every episode of the show, which completely
blows our mind.
And we got the last episode or second last episode, but we have kind of the topics the last 2, 3, 4 episodes mapped out. But there will be a bit of a celebration between then. I would like to get a few guests on that either we haven't had on or some returning big favorites of the show back on one last time.
Sure.
Because then after that, once we hit 500, it's just going to be you and me doing one every, might be 2 months, might be whatever. So the feed will remain there, but we're not going to do the weekly thing and whatever else. And if you want to join us then, that's great. We can't ask for any more than that.
Absolutely.
So it's been a hell of a ride. Our entire 40s, basically, by the time this is done. You'll be a couple months away from 50. I'll be a few extra months away. But yeah, it'll be 9.5 years of this show to get to 500 episodes. Almost zero podcasts make it that far. So Wizard, I mentioned earlier, an exception to that. very, very few. And we're not, and when we say 500, we don't even talk about the review episodes.
Yeah, because that would be more like 1,000.
So technically, we'll be encroaching on 1,000 releases at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Be like 850, 900. I think we got a podcast, an episode. Sorry.
You're the numbers guy. He doesn't.
I think we got an email from a fellow podcast recently saying, you had 900 episodes released. I'm like, is it? Is that what we are at? And it's probably pretty close to that. Yeah. So, you know, two times that will be very, very close. And I think eventually we'll release 1,000 episodes. That's astounding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For any podcast, let alone one that's built on the love and
goodwill and support.
Goodwill, support. And we're between us as well.
Absolutely. So
this is not said with any lightness nor what's the word?
Flippantness.
Flippantness. And Wayne and I committed to, you know, a big part of this is our friendship. And I think if I'm
totally.
To
One
say,
of the reasons this thing kept going is that Paul keeps coming to my house every week and we talk shit.
We get to catch up.
Yeah, we talk shit for an hour before the recording.
Sometimes an hour,
happens.
Sometimes an hour and a half, yeah. Sometimes only 15 minutes if we saw each other on Wednesday night, like today. But it enforces our friendship in a way I think is, for me, exceptionally wonderful.
And me.
We're still going to do that.
And, like I said, we're not going away completely, but just be advised, if it's a weekly ritual for you, come November, there'll be, you know.
Big changes. It might drop to once a month. It might be once every 3 months. We're not going to put a timeline on it.
Yeah.
So it is, if something drops to the feed, I would say to you, don't unsubscribe unless you need that weekly fix. But if you're happy to hear from us whenever we want to drop something, then it will continue for the time being at least.
And again, we'll keep the feed going for some many years afterwards. Yeah,
we have kind of discussed that. And with, again, thanks to the patrons, because we can just take the money out of that and allow that to continue for 5, 10 years, whatever it is. Yeah. So if you are hearing this now, years from what is recording on March 24th, 2024, and you're like, oh man, what happened to the show? It stopped suddenly. Now you'll understand. And that will come about purely because of the generosity of our patrons who are, to a person, amazing, amazing, supportively people.
Most supportive. Exactly. People. Supportive. Yeah. The best people ever. So, yeah, we're not going away completely, folks, but the, you know, we still got most of the year for us, okay? Still got most of the year to
have
some
fun. Time to adjust. Like, again, without having a go at Sam and the crew for Movie Reviews and Tweak Reviews, we didn't want to just drop it as a bombshell with two episodes to go. We wanted people to have lots of time to adjust. Oh my God, you'll never live. No, of course. I just mean like, just get used to the idea of
exactly.
We aren't going to be doing this thing every week anymore.
After November.
So 32 episodes. There is your timeline. Knowing that we have the last 3 or 4 episodes mapped out. So about 28 episodes. If you want to get involved in the show, now is the time.
Let us know what you want us to talk about.
No other time. I'm going to put a thread up in the Facebook community. The final one, your topics that we haven't done or that you would like to hear. And we're going to take it from there.
All right.
So that's it from us today on that bombshell. And I hope it is a bombshell. People give a shit about the show.
They may not, but you know, at least you're
Like, yeah, fuck so. It should have ended 50 episodes.
Exactly. Fuck off, people. No, it's fine. But we'll be back soon, next week, in fact. And
we will, with a topic we have not decided yet. Maybe it'll be one of yours in the Facebook community. Join up. Get involved. Thank you so much for joining us.
My name is Wayne.
My name is Paul. And this has been The Soundboard.
Hot damn!
At least that fucker goes away. You know what I'm saying? So it's not all fucking like a shutdown, everyone. It's not all bad news.
Fuck him. We'll catch you next time. See ya.
See ya. Ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 ay,